So it's Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. And being let go, they went, that's Peter and John, to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Amen. May God bless this reading to us. So Peter and John had been at the temple. They had healed this man at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate. And then the chief priests and the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all these high up religious people there at the temple, they found fault with what Peter and John had done. They didn't want the name of Jesus to be preached. They saw that the man was healed and there was nothing they could do about that, but they didn't want the name of Jesus to be preached. So they warned these two apostles, don't preach in Jesus' name. Don't do miracles in Jesus' name. And they sent them away. And Peter and John returned to the other apostles and to the followers of Jesus. Now, I don't know whether it was just the apostles, or whether it was the 120, or maybe even the 8,000 people that we have already seen who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I do know is that there is a lovely expression used in these opening verses that we read today to describe the people of God whom they went to speak to. And that expression is their own company. They went to their own company. They went to the fellowship of the saints. You know, have a wee look around and see the people that are here today. This is your own company. These are your people. This is the group of believers that the Lord has been pleased to gather in this place. This is our own company. These are the people that we share things with. These are the people that we fellowship with. These are the people that we speak to and spend time with. These are the people that we take time to love and care for and respect and honor. This is our own company. And the Lord be blessed that he has given us one another. These people went to their own company. Peter and John went to their own company. Their brothers and sisters, their family in the Lord. And there they spent time talking about what had happened, talking about what had been said, the threats and the warnings that had been given, probably the answers that had been returned to these chief priests. And the reaction of the company of the believers, I think, is very interesting. You know, there may have been, as I've said, thousands of them there. Do you know what I think I would have done if I was one of those thousands that were believers in Jerusalem at that time? I think I would have stood up in the midst of the people and said, "We need to have a demonstration that this is not the way that these chief priests are going to talk to us any longer. We're too powerful for that. We've got enough people here that we can make our own demands. We'll march right to the temple this afternoon and we will tell them a piece of our mind." You think that's what the disciples did? Do you know what they did? They took it to the Lord in prayer. They took it in prayer to God, their problem, their troubles, the opposition that they were facing. They took it to the Lord because they knew that the Lord was the one that had all power. In fact, when we look at these verses, it's very interesting in the way in which the people first expressed the power and the authority, the control that God had. Because they said with one accord, "Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all them that in them is." If you've made everything, then you're in control of everything. You know what these people have said to us. You know the threats that have been made against us. And we're asking for your help. I think that's lovely. I think there's a lesson there. That the very first thing the disciples did when they were brought into trouble was they took their problems to the Lord. They didn't rest in their own strength. They didn't imagine that they were powerful enough to change the government, change the law, change the circumstances. They took their situation to the Lord. And it's interesting the way in which they expressed this need that they have. Quite a large part of this portion that we've read is taken from the writings of David in the Old Testament, where David speaks about the things that were going to happen in the future. We call that prophecy. And the prophecies of the Old Testament spoke about what was going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ came. And it's very clear from what these believers said is that they began to realize that the very things that David had spoken about in the Old Testament were happening before their eyes. I think that must have been a very blessed time. They saw that Pontius Pilate and the chief priests, they saw that the things that were being said against them had been spoken of by God thousands of years before. And that gave them reassurance that the same God who told them all those years ago what was going to happen and was evidently happening right now, obviously knew what was going to happen, stated what was going to happen, prepared for what was going to happen, and now was in control of it happening. That was a reassuring thing for the disciples to realize, the apostles to realize. And it shows us how the Old Testament scriptures were suddenly coming alive to them in new ways when they realized that these things that were being spoken were the very things that had been prophesied so many years before. And in verse 28 of chapter 4, I think there's a lovely little phrase there which confirms and, as it were, summarizes all of these thoughts. Because it says there that they knew that by this means God was doing whatsoever his hand and his counsel, his wisdom, his plans, if you like, determined before to be done. God was in control, and he was doing exactly what he wanted to do, even although they were being threatened, even although they were being persecuted, even although they were being told, don't you speak about Jesus, don't you do miracles in Jesus' name. Here it became evident to them that all of these things, even the hard things, the difficult things, the trials and the persecution, were all in the hand of Almighty God and all being controlled by him. They prayed for boldness to declare the gospel, and they prayed for the demonstration of the power of God. An interesting little phrase that's used a couple of times in this passage is the phrase "Holy Child" to describe the Lord Jesus. Did you notice that? The Holy Child. And that reminds us that while we are praying to the Lord God Jehovah, the God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, nevertheless, we do so because the Son of God became a little child, became a man like as to our flesh, entered into the world and joined himself in union with us in order to be our Savior and our Deliverer. When they prayed for help and for the demonstration of power, we're told that something else happened. The Holy Ghost. We sometimes say the Holy Ghost, we sometimes say the Holy Spirit. It's the same person that we're talking about. Sometimes he's called the Ghost, sometimes he's called a Spirit. But here we're speaking about the power of God. And the Holy Ghost came again. We talk about the three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Here the Holy Ghost came again and he shook the building that they were in. He demonstrated his power and he came as the comforter to the people who were feeling discomforted. He came as the provider of the people that felt a need. He came as the emboldener of the people that were feeling anxious and frightened. And this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to his church and to his people. When we ask God for help, when we pray to God for help, it's not God the Father who comes to help us. It's God the Holy Spirit. He is the one who comes and ministers to our needs day by day. And that is a refreshing and sustaining and helping and encouraging and a blessing that comes to those who are the Lord's people. And we should expect that. I think the fact that he came twice, he came so quickly after the day of Pentecost, he came again, shows us that we have a need of these refreshing experiences of God's help and God's comfort. And it's something that we should all be aware of and that we should think about. And right at the end of this little passage, we meet a man. He's called Joseph, but there were a lot of Josephses, so they called him Barnabas. And Barnabas means comforter or encourager or the son of consolation. And he was a man who we are going to hear about quite a lot in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. He was a well-respected man. He was a man of some wealth and some property. And he, perhaps as an example to the other believers, he sold the property that he had. I don't know whether it was in Cyprus or where it was. He was a man from the island of Cyprus. And he sold that property and he gave the proceeds, the money from that property to the apostles so that the apostles could distribute to the needs of the poor, the poor believers there in Jerusalem. And we are told that there was a time of unity in the church at this time. The believers, and here's another lovely little phrase. I think these phrases just jump out of the Bible at you sometimes when you're reading them. The believers were of one heart and one soul. What a delight to be in a fellowship that is of one heart and one soul. To be in union together, to be committed together to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're told that with great power, they gave the apostles witness of the, or the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and there was great grace upon them all. They had things in common, all things in common. They shared together as people had need, not as people wanted, but as people had need. And the apostles distributed those things which were needful to one another. In this little incident, we discover that the Lord supplies the needs of his people. He supplies them with spiritual blessings, and he supplies them with practical blessings. Even the men and women that were needed to accomplish the purposes of God were provided to the church. You know, the skills that we have, the resources that we have, the abilities that we have, they're not ours. If you're really clever, that cleverness has been given to you by God so that you can help and bless the church with your cleverness. If you're wealthy, that wealth hasn't been given to you just for you. It has been given to you so that you can help the church and the people who have need in the church. The Lord has given you these gifts, and he calls us to share these things together with one another as we have need. And all of the church were united together. All of the church blessed the Lord together. And the Lord was pleased to minister to them. Sometimes we worry about the church. Sometimes we think to ourselves, what's going to happen? What's going to happen when we get old? What's going to happen when we get few in number? What's going to happen if, I don't know, the roof falls in someday? What's going to happen to the church of Jesus Christ? And we worry about it. We think, is it all going to just disappear someday? Are people not going to be interested anymore? Is it all going to close up? You know what? The Lord provides for his people. He provides for the needs of his people. And that's something that we need to remember. This church is not my church. It's not your church. This is the Lord's church. We are the Lord's people. And the Lord provides for all our needs according to his riches. May the Lord bless these thoughts to our hearts this morning.